Chapter 18. By the time the haze started to thin, the eight of us that remained found each other and took stock of our injuries. But other than a lingering cough, which we all had from the dusty air, I'd come out unscathed thanks to Torek's breastplate. Nyla May bore a shallow cut across her muscular thigh from a goblin's dagger, and the Thok had been stabbed in the shoulder earlier in the battle, but neither wounds were life-threatening. Meanwhile, Emrila had come through with just a superficial scratch on one cheek from a demon, but it wasn't even deep enough to scar, so the only real loss was Urlak. The Dolrath, Emrila, and I all gathered around the body of the large man, but his ruined face was a grisly sight, and Ezreal gingerly tied a handkerchief over Urlak's missing eyes. Then Emrila and I watched in respectful silence as the other soldiers lifted his body and prepared to carry it back to the encampment. "I'm sorry about Urlak," I said to Nyla May.
"Don't be."
The dark-haired woman countered, and she flashed a tired but proud smile at me.
"He died in glory, protecting his people. Urlak will be remembered for the hero he was, as will you. There was a whole army of goblins living in our territory, right under our noses, and we would not have known that if it weren't for you."
The Dolrath woman was clearly not a stranger to death. There was a strong set to her shoulders, and something in her voice told me she was sad at the loss, but had learned to live with these harsh realities. "I'm just glad the plan worked," I said in a modest tone. "When that first bullet hit, I would have shit a brick if it didn't work."
"But it did work."
Emrila winked at me.
"And now you're the hero of Dolrath."
"Speaking of which," I went over to the pile of bones and ash that used to be the lesser demon, picked up the skull, and carried it back to the dark-haired captain. "This is to present to your mother. Tell her I send it with my best regards."
"Bring it to her yourself,"
Nyla May said as she lifted her chin with the challenge.
"We all fought and won, but it was your leadership that led us to victory. You and Emrila are some of the finest warriors I have ever had the pleasure of fighting beside."
The Dolrath princess joined her soldiers and started back toward the road, and I smiled a little. Being a hero felt really fucking good. Then Emrila slipped her arm around mine, and I looked down at the Zinkari woman.
"We're going to get a big reward,"
the horned woman said with a wide grin that revealed her sharp canine teeth. Something about her dangerous smile was incredibly sexy. It didn't take long to get back to the encampment, now that we didn't have to worry about a horrible rotting corpse demon jumping out of the shadows at us. When we eventually reached the tent city, the soldiers broke off to see their fallen companion, but Nyla May proudly led us right into the meeting hall, flung the double doors open, and marched up to the dais.
"Mother!"
the dark-haired warrior woman intoned in a voice that carried across the hall.
"It is my pleasure to present Eddie Hill, Goblin King of the Tectris Forest, champion of the Battle of the Western Lake, and vanquisher of the shadow demon that has plagued our land. He also killed a pitworm by himself earlier today,"
Emrila called out with a saucy grin.
"And slayer of pitworms,"
Nyla May concluded without missing a beat. A murmur and buzz moved in waves around the Dolrath warriors gathered throughout the hall, and I was very aware every eye was on me as I stepped forward with the skull of the demon tucked under my arm. On the way to the dais, Bakoth caught my eye within the crowd and inclined his head to me. I nodded back, but then turned to Chief Ekname in her chair on the dais. As I looked at the chief, I noticed the chair beside her was conspicuously empty, and I wondered where Vimin was. But I pushed the thought aside as I came to the steps of the dais, and then I looked the chief in her eyes and offered up the skull to her. "Here's the head of the demon," I said to the fierce older woman. "I thought you might like it for your mantle." Ekname studied me for a long moment with an unreadable expression before she stood, took the skull with both hands, and laughed deeply.
"A fine decoration indeed,"
the chief declared.
"And for the service you have done for the Dolrath, I would like to offer you a thanks fit for a king."
Ekname turned to the soldier that stood just behind her chair and waved her hand. The man bowed to her and then stepped away, presumably to get whatever my reward was. "The greatest reward I could ask for," I ventured as I tried my luck, "is for your help with the Mad Chief."
"As I have said before, I will not be the first of the three chiefs to break the treaty."
Ekname shook her head, but her eyes were soft and contemplative when she looked back at me.
But when you bring me proof of Ursinger's treachery, I will be the first to champion your cause.
I had to try, I grinned. And thank you, ma'am. Then the soldier came back with a larger cloth sack that he presented to me. The weight of it made my hand drop a little when I took it. I peeked into the slightly open drawstrings, and I realized the bag was full of gold and silver coins. Thank you. I gratefully bowed my head to the chief, but internally I was adding up all the dollars in my bank account.
I look forward to seeing you again,
Ekname said as she nodded her head to me. I do too, I said as I returned the gesture. With that dismissal, Amreel and I turned to leave the hall, and I was thinking about Ibsith, home, and my sweet-ass shower, until I noticed Nilame was walking with us out of the hall. Once we were outside, the chief's daughter turned to me with an almost shy smile.
Thank you for all you've done,
the dark-haired woman said. There's no need to keep thanking me, I grinned. It was the right thing to do.
And very brave and generous of us,
Amreela added as she gracefully swept a stray lock of hair from her face.
Of course.
Nilame replied with a good-natured laugh.
But I want you both to know, if there is anything I can do to help you in the fight against Ursinger, all you have to do is ask.
That I might take you up on, I said in a serious tone. But I don't think we should discuss it here.
Probably not.
The dark-haired woman agreed as she looked around.
But I'd also like to thank you for the loan of this.
The Dolrath woman held out the AK to me, but I shook my head. Amreela said it was a gift for you, I said, and then looked to the Zinkari woman to confirm her intent.
If it's all the same to Eddie, I've always preferred my swords.
The horned woman shrugged before she nodded at the Night Elf.
But you seem to have really taken to it, so I'd like you to have it.
Thank you.
Nilame almost purred as she affectionately held the rifle.
The kick of this weapon in my arms, and the way our enemies exploded when they died, it was invigorating. I am very fond of this, though I am afraid I ran out of rounds. Bullet, is that right?
Yeah, I chuckled. I'll just have to bring you more when I come back, so be conscious of how many you have left in the meantime. I'll also bring you some headphones to protect your ears.
I would like that,
the chief's daughter replied, and her lips twitched upwards as her eyes scanned over my body.
Be well, Eddie Hill.
You too, Nilame, I replied with a warm smile. Then the red-skinned woman and I said our last goodbyes and left the tent city to begin our journey home.
Ibseth is going to love her,
Amreela teased as we reached the outer limits of the encampment.
When are you going to bring her home?
Don't you start with that too, I snorted. The Zinkari woman and I headed back to the alcove in the western reaches of the cavern, and we joked and laughed all the way back to the southern tunnels. All the long days recently and our victory over the Shadow Demon had made me feel giddy, and the fact the Dolrath now considered me to be an ally made the journey back the most relaxed I'd ever felt while in the gloom.
That fight was so invigorating,
the Zinkari woman said when we were passing through the last of the dwarven halls.
I'm not sure I could sleep for hours yet.
I'm still pretty amped, too, I admitted as I rolled up onto the balls of my feet. We'll just have to keep each other company.
Oh, really?
The horned woman asked, and then she paused and gave me a direct look. I turned and looked at the Zinkari woman, and I was expecting the usual sarcastic, bantering demeanor. But instead, I saw her parted lips and the heavy rise and fall of her firm breasts. My eyes traveled up from the show of her cleavage and her well-cut armor to the graceful curve of her neck, and then finally to her black eyes that telegraphed their desire.
Eddie,
she whispered,
I want you inside of me now. Please, love me.
I could feel the desire I'd put off and held in check burst like a dam as I firmly grabbed her around her thin waist. How do I get you out of that armor? I growled as my blood rose.
Takes too long.
The red-skinned woman breathed as she fingered one of the dozens of leather straps.
But there are ways around it.
Amreela reached a slender hand into the bodice of her black leather breastplate and pulled her tits out over the top of the low-cut neckline, and her smooth, red-toned skin and the tawny buds of her small nipples drove me wild. I pulled her body against mine, and my erection strained against my pants as Amreela put her hands on my hips and started to grind against me in return.
Take me, Eddie.
The black-eyed woman purred.
Make me yours
Don't be gentle.
I was happy to oblige. I pushed the Zinkari woman up against the cave wall and lifted her, and Amrila wrapped her legs around me while still undulating her hips to tease me through my pants. God, I thought about touching you so much. I slid one hand up from her waist over her toned body and then over to her right breast, where I firmly pinched her nipple between my thumb and forefinger. The horned woman thrilled as she threw her head back.
I want you so fucking bad!
I started to kiss and lick the soft skin of Amrila's neck, and I listened to her breathing quicken as I bit her. Not hard enough to leave a mark, but enough to make her squirm even more. The red-skinned woman mewled as her hands wrapped around my shoulders, and I could feel her nails through my shirt. I want you so bad. I rumbled into her neck. Suddenly, the Zinkari woman's legs let go, and she dropped to the ground again, while still pressed against the cold stone wall.
Then take me.
Amrila challenged in a voice that was husky with desire. The horned woman reached between her legs, and I stepped back enough to watch, but was already imagining what was underneath. With a few quick movements, the leather piece over the mound of her pussy came away and revealed the strawberry blonde wisp of hair over her smooth cunt. Her vagina barely had any lips, and I could see the sweet, pink button of her proud clit. Impressive garment, I said with a wolfish grin.
Armor should always be practical.
The horned woman breathed, and then she took hold of my belt and pulled me toward her again. As the half-demon woman began to unbuckle my belt, my hard dick jumped in my pants and begged to be released. I needed some kind of relief, so I took hold of Amrila's face, turned it up toward me, and slammed my lips over hers. Our wet tongues met with an electric jolt I felt in my core, and then I reached my hand down between the horned woman's legs and felt the humid warmth of her pussy as I started to tease her clit. Amrila took hold of the hair at the back of my head and kissed me more deeply, and I could feel the edges of her sharp canines as our tongues moved and pushed against each other. There was an art to kissing a Zinkari without sustaining any injuries. Then Amrila's hips bucked against my hand as she slipped her own hand down into my now unbuttoned pants and firmly grasped my hard cock. The red-skinned woman murmured,
"You're a big man."
"Wait until you feel it inside you." I snarled back before I slipped a finger into her tight, slick pussy. The horned woman moaned as I worked my finger in and out of her. I didn't go easy, but the half-demon woman responded most to strong, rough movements and seemed to take pleasure in the hints of pain. It was nothing like making love to Ibsith, which was glorious in its own way. No, Amrila didn't want me to make love to her. She wanted to be fucked hard. She wanted me to make her mine.
I want your big dick inside me.
The black-eyed woman pleaded as she stroked my cock. Not yet. I growled and slipped a second finger in her. You've got to come for me first.
Yes, Eddie.
Amrila keened and threw her head back against the stone tunnel wall.
Bite me again. Bite me again and I'll come.
I moved my fingers faster in and out of her sweet tunnel, and then I buried my face in her neck and bit her again just like before.
Eddie.
The muscles in the Zinkari woman's tight cunt clenched as she came and squirted into my hand. But rather than stopping and asking for a moment to catch her breath, Amrila continued to work my cock and pulled my fingers from inside her with her other hand. Then she raised my hand to her face and licked her juices from my fingers with a devilish grin. Fuck. I wanted to be inside her. Now. Hold on. I lifted the red-skinned woman again and pushed her roughly against the hard stone walls, and Amrila wrapped her legs around me again as I pulled out my throbbing cock and guided it inside her. Fuck, she was tight, but she was also as wet as a waterfall, so I was able to slide deep inside of her as we both hissed. The horned woman's scream of delight echoed through the tunnel as I bottomed out inside her.
Yes, you feel so good.
You're so fucking tight. I rumbled and then I pulled back sharply and thrust up again into the black-eyed woman's dripping pussy. Amrila squeezed her legs around me as she began to bounce up and down on my raging erection, and I thrust again and again to meet her hips. Soon, the tunnel was filled with the horned woman's squeals of delight and the soft, wet sounds of our flesh as we fucked like teenagers behind the bleachers.
Eddie!
Amrila groaned as she clawed at my back and shoulders.
Oh, you fucked so good. Fill me with your seed. Make me yours.
You want me to come in you? I snarled, and the pace of our fucking became faster and deeper.
Yes!
The horned woman called out with her head thrown back in ecstasy.
Give me your seed!
Then come for me again. I commanded, and then I lowered my mouth onto the red-skinned woman's tawny nipple and devoured it like a starving man. Amrila practically screamed.
Our gods!
Amrila bucked and squirmed as she squirted again, and her warm juices dripped down my cock and balls. The knowledge of the Zinkari woman's pleasure spurred me, and my pistoning hips on, and I felt the pressure building in my core as I got close. Amrila didn't slow down her wild gyrations, and I kept thrusting until I finally felt my willpower snap. Fuck, Amrila! I growled as my cock pulsed out its first ropes of cum. I'm coming.
Yes! Ah, deep in me. Oh, your seed is so hot.
Amrila's pussy fluttered around me while I filled her, and the sting of her nails digging into my shoulder while we both climaxed dragged out one last shuddering thrust from my hips. The burst of pleasure and endorphins almost made my knees buckle, but I was able to hold us both up as our movements slowed and came to a stop. The two of us leaned there, propped up against the wall for several long moments, and I placed softer kisses along Amrila's shoulders, especially over the lingering imprint of my teeth.
Ibsith was right about you.
The horned woman finally purred, and her voice echoed loudly around the empty tunnel and drew me back into the present. What do you mean? I asked as I pulled back a fraction to look in her black eyes. The Zinkari woman smirked.
You are a king.
That startled a laugh out of me, and Amrila joined in before I swooped down and seized her swollen lips in a kiss. Her tunnel fluttered around me again, but exhaustion was pulling at my eyes and limbs now, so I pulled out of her with a wet plopping sound. We would have round two back home, in a real bed. Once we'd put ourselves together again, we made our way back to the surface, and I felt lighter now that we'd satisfied the feelings we'd put off for far too long. By the time we got to the surface, it was late afternoon. We'd been down in the gloom for a little over a day, but as soon as we came up out of the lilac bushes, Ibsith was there to welcome us home. I set down my backpack as the petite elven woman burst through the back door, and I caught her in my arms as she threw herself around me.
Oh, you're home,
Ibsith whispered into my ear. I could tell she wanted to shout it and show how much she'd missed me, but we both knew the neighbors were probably listening. I am, I whispered back as I held her tightly. The blue-skinned woman kissed me on the cheek, but then she stopped and took a long sniff against my skin. Then my elven wife pulled back and looked at me with wide, excited eyes.
You finally did it!
Ibsith squealed. Did what? I asked with a confused frown.
You took Amrila as your wife!
The blue-skinned woman giggled as she gestured to the Zinkari behind me. How do you know that? I chuckled.
Because you smell like sex,
Ibsith replied with a light-hearted shrug.
It is a wonderful scent. Not much gets past our princess.
The Zinkari woman laughed as Ibsith let go of me and went to throw her arms around Amrila.
Oh, sweet sister!
Ibsith almost tackled the horned woman with her enthusiastic hug.
All right!
The red-skinned woman patted her friend on the back.
I missed you too. There is chicken and steaks in the fridge,
the elven woman said with a contented smile as she looked at both of us.
You two freshen up and rest. I will make us a feast to celebrate our family and good fortune.
Sounds perfect to me. I grinned. I let Amrila get the first shower while I hung out in the kitchen with Ibsith, and I watched her start a marinade for the chicken before working on some side dishes for our impromptu cookout. I regaled my elven wife with stories of fighting the pitworm and our battle against the demon and his horde of goblins, and the blue-skinned woman gasped and laughed as she listened to my account of my exploits in the gloom. Then I helped Ibsith carry what she needed out to the backyard, and I got the grill started as I finished my story. And just like that, I said in a grand fashion, the shadow demon turned into a pile of bones and ash.
Oh, Eddie!
The elven woman gasped and clapped her hands.
Thank goodness you were there to help the Dolrath. All the pain that horrible thing caused. I'm glad you stopped the demon before it could do anything worse.
All in a day's work, I snorted before I pulled Ibsith close to me and kissed her deeply.
I hope you have something left after taking Amrila for your wife.
The violet-eyed woman purred as she looked at me adoringly. I'll always have plenty for you, my love, I replied with a grin.
Go wash up,
Ibsith giggled.
And we shall see about that after dinner.
I smiled at my wife and went back into the house as Amrila came out in her black romper and sunglasses, fresh from the shower. I stashed my backpack and new breastplate in the bedroom closet, and then I grabbed some clean clothes and a fresh towel and got cleaned up. After a hot shower, I felt like a new man, and I went out to the backyard to drink beer and eat with my wives. In the yard, Amrila was lounging in a lawn chair and enjoying some well-earned rest. Meanwhile, Ibsith was standing over the grill and looking sexy as fuck in a white, short little sundress as she expertly flipped the steaks and checked to see if they were medium rare yet. As I sat in a lawn chair next to the Zinkari woman, she lazily reached into the cooler next to her, pulled out and opened a beer, and handed it to me. Thanks, I said and took a sip of the refreshing beverage. Then I just sat there sipping on my beer, taking in my yard, my beautiful wives, and appreciating everything my hard work had brought us. Life was pretty fucking great. My cell phone rang not long after, so I pulled it from my pocket and was surprised to see it was Owen McElfrish. Hello? I answered, and I smiled at Ibsith as she caught my eye and blew me a kiss. Hiya, Eddie, the Irishman replied on the other end of the line. I won't take up much of your time. I just wanted to let you know those papers you wanted already. I frowned in momentary confusion, but then I remembered that I'd asked the short businessman to get new identities for my ladies, and I perked up in my chair. That's great, I said. Thanks for letting me know. I'll be by to pick them up soon. Then I said goodbye and hung up before I sat back with a huge grin. That was one more thing off my mental checklist. The next item, buying the Miller's house and making room for all these wives Ibsith wanted me to have. Damn, it was awesome to be the guy with the backyard dungeon, and I couldn't wait till tomorrow came. End of book 2.